2. Here's Roll again back, and this time he misses low. 1-2. Two men out. Roll back again inside. So the count rounds at 2-2. 2-2, 2 men out. Colts lead 7-0. Top of the 3rd inning. Here's the pitch, and there's a little pop fly back at second base. Moving back is Ron Hunt. He makes the catch. That retires the side. So for the first time in the game, the Mets take the Colts in order. 1-2-3 in the score at the end of 2.5 innings of play. The Colts 45-7. The New York Mets, nothing. While the Dodgers getting help from Jupiter Flurbus, winning the ball game after 6 innings, and they now have temporarily increased their lead to 6.5 games over the San Francisco Giants. And the pennant race, still anybody's guess. Different people picking different teams for different reasons, but the Dodgers are pretty well out in front now, but you can never tell. You know, when it comes to selecting New York's favorite beer, well, millions of people agree on this one. It's Rheingold Extra Dry. And the reason? Because Rheingold has a flavor all its own. And dry tells you why. Two little words, extra dry, tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way for a taste that's brisk and bright and clean clear through. Brewed extra dry to be extra refreshing. So why don't you stop in a supply of refreshing Rheingold and enjoy a glass along with the game. Soon you'll find yourself joining the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Bottom half of the 3rd inning, the Colt 45s out in the field. The Mets now coming up and batting for the 2nd time in the game will be Ron Hunt. Ron grounded out the 3rd his first time up. He's a right-hand batter, batting at 256. Mets have had one base hit off Skinny Brown. That was a double to center field by Joe Hicks, his first National League hit. And the first pitch by Brown is hit deep to left field, way back there. And the ball is hauled down by the left fielder Al Spangler, catching the ball by the bullpen. That ball hit about 450 feet. Ron Hunt with a deep drive to left field out now for out number 1, and Jim Hickman will come to bat. Still some rain falling in the ballpark. And with rain in Philadelphia, there's a possibility we could have some more rain right here at the Polo Grounds. 7-0 score, the Colt leads, and a knuckleball by Brown is low to Hickman for ball 1. Jim struck out on a knuckleball his first time up. He's batting 220. Pitch back, a fastball, looked at, strike 1. 1-1. Now the 1-1 delivery, and this one has popped up in shallow left field, going back to the shortstop. Also the left fielder moving on, but the shortstop makes the catch. Jim Wynn pulling the ball down about 60 feet back on the grass, back of the dirt part of the infield. 2 men out now. The batter will be Duke Snyder, who walked his first time up. Duke batting 236. First pitch, a knuckleball fouled back over the press box for strike 1. Al Brown, the pitcher for the Colt 45s, acquired from the Yankees, throws about 90% knuckleballs. He has a fast breaking knuckleball, throws it fairly hard, and it breaks down in a straight pattern, almost like a curveball. There's a high knuckleball. 1-1. He's a fast working pitcher. Now he takes the sign, comes back to Snyder. Knuckleball again. This one hits foul down to Solly Hemus. So the count is 1-2. In Brown's last 2 outs, he has given up only 2 runs. He won 1 game, 1-0, lost the other. Was shut out. Now the 1-2 pitch. Knuckleball again. Hit off the end of the bat into the hole by the shortstop in the left field. A base hit for Duke Snyder. Picked up by Al Spangler, and Snyder holds at first base. Hit number 2 for the Mets off Brown. It brings up Jesse Gonder. That ball is hit right off the end of the bat, spinning on through the hole, right by the shortstop, Wynn in the left field. Jesse Gonder, a left-hand batter, coming up. He grounded out the first his first time up, batting 333. Jesse had two home runs off Don Drysdale in the last series in one game. And his first pitch is high right through at the letters for strike one. And those two home runs by Jesse Gonder, equaling the two home runs that Duke Snider had in the ballgame. There's a foul ball into the stand. Strike two count. Out in the bullpen now, Ernie Fazio and Carl Warwick, an infielder and an outfielder, warming up. Two strike count to Jesse Gonder. Brown now comes back to the plate with a knuckleball. It is high for ball one. One ball, two strikes. Duke Snider at first base not being held on. Colts lead 7-0. Again, the knuckleball, and there's a drive to center field, but Howie Goss is right there, and he takes it in for the final out of the inning. For the Mets, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left, and the score at the end of three, the Colts 45, seven runs on five hits. The Mets have no runs but two hits. The final revised edition of the New York Mets official 1963 yearbook is now on sale. This new edition contains many new action pictures in addition to biographical and statistical data on Jimmy Pearsall, Jesse Gonder, Joe Hicks, Duke Snider, and the rest of the Mets squad. There are stories about Casey and his coaching staff, Shea Stadium, the Stadiorama scoreboard, the farm system, the men behind the scenes, and many other interesting facts and stories. You know, some of the photos, they've got a lot of new ones. Well, they have one of Casey leading the band. The Mets at West Point, the 1963 Old Timers Day ceremony. Jimmy Pearsall hitting his 100th home run. And he ran backwards on that one, if you recall. Willie Mays night, an opening day. So to obtain your copy of the final revised edition of the Mets official 1963 yearbook, send 50 cents to Met Yearbook, Polo Grounds, New York, 39, New York. The book is also available at the Met Midtown ticket offices, located in Grand Central and Pennsylvania Station. Moving to the fourth inning with the Colts 45s on top, 7-0. The first batter will be Al Spangler, the leadoff man. Al had a home run as the first batter in this ballgame here today, and he takes a high outside pitch from Don Rowe for ball one. He batted twice in the first inning when the Colts 45 sent 11 men to the plate. His second time up, he fouled out. There's a high pop-up in front of the mound. Coming out is Jesse Gonder, now calling as Jim Hickman, and Jim makes the catch. So Spangler now is 1-for-3. The Mets have one out here in the fourth inning, and Johnny Temple will come to bat. John is 0-for-2. Second baseman batting 264. And the first pitch is inside, ball one. John is quite a character, and he's been quite a ball player. His big record set with Cincinnati. Here's a 1-0 pitch, inside again, ball two. He's known as the last of the playing umpires. He really gives the umpires a bad time at the plate. Here's the 2-0 pitch, line hard over the third base bag right down the line. A base hit, he might go for two. He rounds, ball is picked up by Thomas, and Thomas's throw stops him at first base. The ball gets away from Ron Hunt, but no play on. Temple with a base hit, and we're going to have a pinch runner for Johnny Temple. It's going to be Ernie Fazio. Fazio, a bonus player, signed up along with Bob Garibaldi out of Santa Clara last year. One man out, a man at first base. The score is 7-0 in favor of the Colts 45s. And the batter will be a pinch hitter batting for Pete Reynolds. Here's the first pitch to tie for ball one. Carl Warwick batting for Pete Reynolds. Reynolds 1-for-2 being taken out. And the pitch back is high again. Ball two. The announcement of Carl Warwick in the game. Again high by Don Rowe, and it's ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Rowe sets and comes back, and there's a drive hit down the left field line, foul. And while we wait for a new ball to be put in play, we'll pause for station identification. The voice of the Mets in the great Northeast, WGY Schenectady. The time, 1 minute past three.
Along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy. There's the ball hit down to third. Hickman goes over to second in time. The throw to first base, not in time. Mets just missing their 88th double play. Warwick beating the throw to first base by a half a step. Fazio erased going on down to second base, and we now have two men out, and the batter will be Rusty Staub. Rusty, who was hit by a pitch ball his last time up, a left-hand batter. And his first pitch is line foul down the right field line. Staub batting 209. And he looks at a curveball, strike two. Strike count, a left hand in the mound. Don Rowe now working back, and there's a high slider popped up in foul territory. Gonder looks, it goes out of play. 0-2, the count holding. Colts on top, they have seven runs with six base hits. The Mets have no runs and two hits. We're in the top of the fourth with two men out. And the pitch back to Staub is a call, strike three. And now the signal being that the ball did glance off of the bat. A foul tip held onto by Jesse Gonder. A strikeout to be given to Don Rowe, and that retires the side. In the inning, no runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man was left on base, and the score at the end of 3 1/2 innings of play. The Colts 45-7, the New York Mets nothing. Out go here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Frank Thomas, the first batter, and the first pitch to him is a knuckleball over for strike one. Frank, a right-hand batter, batting for the second time. He grounded out the shortest first time up. There's a base hit right through the hole into left field. Ball picked up by Al Spangler and thrown on in, and the Mets now have a runner at first base with no one out. They trail 7-0. For the Colts, 45, changes in their defensive alignment. At second base now, Ernie Fazio in place of Johnny Temple. In right field, Carl Warwick in place of Rusty Staub. And Rusty Staub has been moved to first base in place of Pete Reynolds. Mets now with a runner at first base. And the batter is Tim Harkness. Tim struck out on a fastball his first time up, batting at 202. And the first pitch is high for ball one. The base hit by Frank Thomas, the third off Skinny Brown on the mound. Pitch back to Harkness, a hard swing and a miss for strike one. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike. Again, a hard swing and a miss, but strike two. Rain coming down a little bit harder right now here at the Polo Grounds. 1-2, and a knuckleball is over. The ball dropped by John Bateman, but he picks it up and tags Harkness out. And a strikeout is given to Hal Brown on the mound. His third in the ball game. It brings up Joe Hicks. Joe doubles to right center field his first time up, his first National League base hit, and of course his first hit is a Mets. Well, now would be a great time to order up a pour glass of that famous dry beer, and that's got to be Rheingold. It's beer as beer should taste. Here's the pitch to Joe Hicks at a high foul ball down the right field line, coming over to Carl Warwick. And also there, Ernie Fazio, and the ball is in the corner, caught by the right fielder, Carl Warwick. And there's a sign given by the first base umpire who had gone out there, Mel Steiner. Actually, Warwick disappeared from sight. He went so deep into the corner right in the foul territory area. So a fine play by Carl Warwick. Two men out now. And the batter will be Larry Burright. Larry walked his first time up. Right-hand batter. The score is 7-0. The Colt 45's lead. And the first pitch hit in the hole, through in the left field, on the ground, a base hit. Frank Thomas moves to second base and holds there. So the Mets now have runners at first and second base. Second time that they have had a man at second base, and the batter will be Don Rowe, who is a good inning pitcher. Don flat out to right field his first time up. Mets trying to stay alive. They're also trying to keep the game going right at this point as slowly as possible. Of course, with a rain threat, there's a chance that the seven run could be erased. Here's the first pitch to Don Rowe. He pulls it foul for strike one. Rowe has two hits and 11 trips to the plate this year. Brown now back to work, and a knuckleball is hit foul over by the dugout. John Bateman coming over, and he makes a good try, the ball off his glove, and he goes down into the dugout. He's all right now, coming back out. Of course, you can go in the dugout to make that catch. If you stay on the dugout area and go on in, and the ball is in play. Strike Garrett holding on Don Rowe. Runners at first and second, two men out, bottom half of the fourth. And a knuckleball is lined to right, a base hit. Coming over Carl Woolrich, he juggles the ball, picks it up. Frank Thomas will score. Here comes the throw in, and going to third base is Larry Burride. That's with their first run of the ball game. Got to the wall. He juggled the ball. Otherwise, he would have had a chance possibly on cutting Frank Thomas down trying to score. But Frank did score. No error in the play. The score now 7-1 in favor of the Colts 45. And batting for the third time in the ball game, Ron Hunt. Runners at first and third. Two men out. And the first pitch to Rod is fouled away for strike one. Gun. Ron batting 255. He is 0 for 2. And Brown comes back with a knuckleball at slow. One ball, one strike. John Bateman, the kid in the game, using the oversized glove to handle a knuckleball by Skinny Brown. Glove first put in use at Baltimore when Paul Richards was the manager there. Here's a pitch outside. Two balls, one strike. Richards, now the man in charge of player personnel for the Colts 45. He has just been given a 6-year contract. 7-1, the Colts lead. Mets with runners at first and third. Pitch back to Hunt, foul back. Strike two. Two balls, two strikes. Brown set and comes back, and there's a base hit possibly to left, coming on strongly left fielder, and he makes the catch. Ball stayed up in the air, and Ron Hunt lined out the left field. Al Spangler coming on quickly to pick that ball up, and it was hit so well it stayed in the air. Every tire is aside in the inning for the Mets. They score one run on three base hits. There were no errors. Two men were left on, and the score at the end of four, the Colts 45-7, the New York Mets one. Now to bring you up to date on the scores, Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Ralph Connor. In the National League, we're getting a lot of rain around today. San Francisco scheduled against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh, a doubleheader postponed because of rain. The Giants will be here on Wednesday night and Thursday night. The Los Angeles Dodgers scheduled for a doubleheader in Philadelphia got six innings of the first game in before rain came. That's enough for a ball game, and the Dodgers won. It's 3-2. Johnny Padres got the win, his eighth of the season against six losses. Cal McLeish took the loss. Johnny Callison and Ruben Amaro homered in that ball game for the Phils, but the Dodgers won it 3-2, and the second game postponed because of rain. At the end of three and a half innings, the Cardinals 5, the Chicago Cubs 1. Hobby for Chicago, Brewer in the second, Elston in the fourth, Ray Sadecki for the Cardinals, Boyer and White have homered for the Cards. That's the first game of a doubleheader. The end of four, the Cincinnati Reds, four, the Milwaukee Braves, nothing. Shaw against the Tour, Steele and Fenton have homered for the Reds. That is the first of two in the American League. The Yankees are at Kansas City for a doubleheader. Detroit at Washington, a doubleheader postponed because of rain. Baltimore and Chicago at the end of two innings. No score, McCormick against Herbert. That's the first of two. Right now, we are going to the top half of the fifth inning. And here is the first pitch. Low to Bob asked for money, or rather in there to ask for money for a called strike one. Here's a pitch from it, lined into the glove of Hickman at third. One away, and that will bring up Jim Wynn for the Colt 45. The end of three and a half innings, the Cleveland Indians three and the Minnesota Twins one. Ramos against Scott. Versalas, Tasby, and Fatty have homered in that ball game. Boston is at Los Angeles for a doubleheader. A much later start. Wynn is a right-hand batter. Rowe with the pitch swung on and foul back. Well, it is not raining as hard at this moment as it has been a little earlier. For this to be an official ball game, we must get into five full innings. The home team trailing must bat in the bottom half of the fifth inning before it becomes an official game. Here's a drive deep to left, way back, going, and this one is a home run for Jim Wynn, his first major league home run. So he comes on around, and the score is 8-1 now. The Colt 45 is leading. Howie Gott. The Massapequa Elks are with us today, 200 of them. They are entertaining 100 orphans who are the guests of the Mets at today's game. Wing and a miss for strike one. Howie Gott. That pitch is low. It's 1-1. Gets the sign, and here's a pitch swung on and fouled off. Man on the field who has been constantly checking the weather is the senior umpire, Augie Donatelli. He is the umpire at second base. Here's a swing and a ground ball. The shortstop taken by Furright. Plays across in time. Goss has grounded out, two away. That'll bring up Johnny Bateman. When any decision is made, if one is made on the weather, it'll be made by the umpire at second base, Donatelli, who would signal it to the umpire behind the plate, Tony Vinson. But no immediate threat of this one being stopped because the field is still in good condition. Pitch is low and away for ball one. The Colts got seven runs in the top of the first, and they lead by a score of 8-1. Pitch is in there for a called strike. 1-1 now to Johnny Bateman. He tripled to drive in three runs in that big first inning. Here's a swing and a fly ball to right center. Joe Hicks is over. He has it lined up deep, and he makes the catch for the out. So the side is retired. Colts are out on the top of the fifth with no runs on one hit. The homer by Jim Wynn. No errors and none left. The end of four and a half innings. It is the Colt 45-8 and the New York Mets 1. Well, you know, it's a big, wide, wonderful world we live in. There's so many ways to enjoy life. Boating, golf, tennis, swimming, picnicking, or just relaxing in the backyard. You know what goes with all of this? Well, sure you do. Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. It's a wonderful beer to enjoy on a wonderful day. In fact, Rheingold makes even ordinary days seem wonderful. It's the flavor that does it. The extra refreshing flavor that is Rheingold's alone. And dry tells you why. Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costly, but it pays off in taste. It gives Rheingold the happiest taste in beer today. But why not find that out for yourself? The next chance you get, open up for order a fine, cold Rheingold. Discover why millions say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Discover why Rheingold is New York's largest selling beer. The bottom half of the fifth inning, and Jim Hickman will be up to lead off for the New York Mets. Kenny Brown is on the mound. Swinging a ground ball to third, taken deep by Astromonte. The play across to Rusty Staub is in time, and Hickman has grounded out. Hickman swinging on the first ball pitched here in the bottom half of the fifth inning. That brings up Duke Snider. He has walked and singled. When the Mets have completed batting in this half inning, this will be an official ball game. Brown with the pitch. Does it deep to center. Going way back is Howie Goss. And this one is taken by Goss in the warning track in front of the center field bleachers. Goss got a good jump on the ball. Batted more than 450 feet. Taken in the warning track in front of the right center field bleachers section of the Polo Ground. Snider gets the hand as he comes back to the dugout after belting that one a long, long way. Jesse Gondu coming up with two men out. Gondu has grounded out to first and flied out to center field. Brown with a no-wind-up delivery, and it's low and inside for ball. Frank Thomas is on deck now for the Mets. Batting in the bottom of the fifth, trailing 8-1. Here's a swing and a high fly ball to short center, and moving over is Howie Goss. He is there. He makes the catch, and this is an official ball game. As the New York Mets in the bottom of the fifth got no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of five, Houston goes 45, eight, the New York Mets one. We're going now to the top half of the sixth inning. And coming up to lead off for the Colts 45 will be pitcher Skinny Brown. Rod Caniel is warming up. Pitcher Don Rowe. Choo-Choo Coleman came in from the bullpen area. There is no catcher out there in a moment. I think we're going to get a catching change here. Caniel makes the throw on down to second base, and umpire Tony Benson is signaling up to public address announcer Jack Lee that we're going to have a new catcher. Here's the announcement. Choo-Choo Coleman coming out of the dugout right now. Coleman replaces Jesse Gondu behind the plate for the Mets. Skinny Brown steps into the batter's box. Left-handed Don Rowe working for the Mets in relief of the starter, Galen Sisco. And the pitch is zipped in for a call, strike one. Again, the pitch, and it's low for ball. It's 1-1. To keep a scorecard, Coleman will bat fourth in the Mets batting order. But a pitch swung on and pulled foul on the ground just back at third. Chad Crawford, the umpire down there. Runs the count to 1-2 to Skinny Brown. Go 45 have 8 runs on 7 hits. The Mets have 1 run on 5 hits. Pitch is in there for a call, strike 3. That's the third strikeout for Don Rowe in this game. One away for the Colts 45s in the top of the sixth, and Al Spangler's coming up. Spangler leading off here this afternoon for the Colts 45s, hit the second pitch of the game into the right field seat for a home run. Since then, he has popped to third twice. Is a breaking ball in there for a call strike to Spangler. It has been established again here this afternoon that the new breed is a hardy breed. Pitch is low for a ball. As you can probably hear, a group of youngsters with a bass drum, a trumpet, and assorted paraphernalia are trying to get a Let's Go Mets chant started. Here's the pitch low for a ball. One pitch, and it's inside for ball. 3-1 to Al Spangler. And although we've had a light rain falling throughout most of this game, many fans have remained in the lower box seat areas with umbrellas. Here's the pitch high. Ball 4, and Warwick goes to first with the base on ball. That is, although Spangler goes to first with the base on ball. That is the first walk issued by Don Rowe since he came on here in relief of Sisco in the first inning. Now it's Ernie Fazio coming up for his first time in this game. Here's a swing and a pop towards second. Digging out is Ron Hutt. Now looks to find the ball and can't get it. First ball's in the throw to second. The force is made there on Spangler. So there'll be no error on the play. Joe Hicks picked up the ball and threw into Burright. That play goes 8-6 if you're scoring on Spangler. Hutt simply turned his back to the grandstand and started digging out and did not look for the ball until he was where he thought it was going to be. And when he got there and looked, it wasn't there. So the ball fell safely. Holding up, thinking it was going to be caught with Spangler, so Hicks picked up the ball and made the point. So there's now a pitch to Carl Warwick is fouled back and out of play. So Fazio is simply on the field his choice as Spangler was forced on the play. Here's the pitch a little tight, and it's 1-1 to Carl Warwick. For his second time here, he batted for Pete Runnels in the top of the fourth. And a foul ball on the ground out of play. 1-2 now to Warwick. We're in the top half of the sixth inning here at the Polo Grounds. First game of a scheduled doubleheader. Houston 8, the Mets 1. Here's a swing and a pop to right in short right field. Ron Hutt is back there now waiting. And he makes the catch to retire the side. In the top of the sixth, the Colt 45 has got no runs, no hits, no errors, and one left. And at the end of five and a half innings, it's the Colt 45's eighth, the New York Mets one. You've probably heard a lot about ballplayer superstition, but man seemed to have almost as many. One friend of mine only lights a cigarette when his team comes to bat, and another smokes only during the odd-numbered inning. Well, whenever you smoke while you're enjoying the game, here's the way you can enjoy each cigarette more. Just make it a Viceroy. Because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. And you can count on it. If you smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some taste too strong, just like the unfiltered kind. And some taste too light. They filter all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. So next time, buy a carton of Viceroy in the familiar soft pack or the new slide top tea. Either way, fans, Viceroy has got the taste that's right. We're going here to the bottom of the sixth, and Frank Thomas is up to lead off for the Mets. He singled in the bottom of the fourth and has scored the only runs the Mets have in this game so far. Kenny Brown started, is still on the mound for the Colt 45. No wind-up delivery. Pitch is swung on and missed for strike one. Tim Harkness now on deck for the Mets. Comes inside for ball. It's 1-1. The 1-1 offering swung on, and there's a fly ball to left. Hanging right there is Al Spangler. He waits and makes the catch. One away, nobody on for the Mets there in the bottom of the sixth. And first baseman Tim Harkness coming up. He has been up twice, struck out both times. Is low for a ball. In case you have joined us along the way, the Colts got seven runs in the first inning, five of them charged against starter Galen Sisco, who failed to retire a man before he was relieved by Don Rowe. This one is a foul ball back at first. Digging over is Rusty Staub and catches Johnny Bateman. Dick Staub calls and makes the catch. So Harkness has fouled out to first base. Two away, nobody on. Coming up is center fielder Joe Hicks. Time to relax with a Viceroy cigarette. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Joe Hicks doubled in the bottom of the second to center field. His first National League hit. Pitch is low for a ball. Umpire Tony Benson behind the plate examines the ball and leaves it in play. Wise to examine any ball hitting in the dirt now. Here is a swing and miss. 1-1. does not appear to be slippery at any place, despite the fact that we have had a light rain falling throughout the game. Here's a pitch low. We are speaking of the infield areas. Of course, the grass is slippery, as evidenced by the fact that Howie Goss slipped down on a ball hit by Hicks for that double in the second inning. Swing and ground ball foul. It's out of play, and the count's 2-2. Here's a swing and a one-hopper taken by Sizio at second, and he throws on to Straub at first in time, and the Mets are out in the bottom of the sixth with no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of six innings of play, it is the Colts 45-8 and the New York Mets 1. The Giants will be coming in here after this Colt 45 series, and Bob Murphy will be in here to tell you more about that just as soon as we pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the Northeast, WGY Schenectady, a General Electric station. The time, 29 minutes past 3.
Okay, Lindsay, Alvin Dark and the Giants have two night games here in the Polo Grounds to wind up the homestand for New York. The Giants are in on Wednesday night and Thursday night. Willie McCovey having a blistering year for the San Francisco Giants. Willie and Henry Aaron tied for the major league lead in home runs. Each belting 26, Willie Mays now has hiked his total to 17. So the Giants are in for two night games on Wednesday night and Thursday night. Following the Thursday night game, the New York Mets will then open a lengthy road trip in Philadelphia. In the seventh inning, Rusty Staub leads off for Houston against left-hander Don Rowe. Officially, Rowe has pitched the entire sixth inning. Got Don out of his windup. The pitch, it's over at the letters. Strike one call to Rusty Staub. Staub has drawn a walk. Reached base when he was hit by a pitch and struck out. Off the outside corner, Choo-Choo Coleman working behind the plate. Into the glove of Don Rowe. Rusty Staub lined out to Rowe. Don just flicked the glove up and picked it out of the air. One away, nobody on in the seventh inning, and the hitter now, Bob Aspermonte. Aspermonte has drawn a walk, reached on a fielder's choice, lined out to third. Outside and high, one ball and no strike. Fly ball into right field. Moving out into shallow right is Ron Hunt. And Ron makes the catch. There are two away. Houston got five of the seven runs off starter Galen Sisco. Don Rowe in six and two-thirds innings has given up two runs, allowed four hits. Down comes the pitch to the rookie shortstop, Jim Wynn, and he takes it for a strike on the outside corner. He hit his first major league home run, his last time at bat in the fifth inning. He has to get away from this one. It's inside and high. One ball and one strike. Jim Wynn, 21-year-old shortstop, right-hand hitter. A swing and a miss on a breaking pitch down low. One ball and two strikes. Jim Wynn is a Cincinnati boy who was drafted out of the Cincinnati organization by the Houston Colt 45. First half of this year, they had him playing at San Antonio. Just missed the outside edge in the count even 2-2. Houston out in front, 8-1. We're in the top of the seventh inning. Now the pitch taken inside and low, and a full count, 3-2. Ball four, it misses outside, and Wynn reaches on a walk. The second walk given up by Rowe. Now the hitter is Howie Goss, the center fielder. A grounder hit down to third, handled by Hickman. He pegs to Hunt. He's out for the fourth play that retires the side. Pretty close play at second base. No runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. Now at the end of six and a half innings, the score, Houston 8, New York 1. half of the seventh inning as the New York Mets come up against Skinny Brown. Pitch over for a call strike. Now Skinny out of his windup, delivers. Hurry right, punts the ball. Off the mound comes Brown. He picks it up, throws to first. Out at a close, close play. To get something going here on the home seventh. He's out on a very close play. Now Don Rowe comes on to hit. Don has driven in the lone New York run with a single to right field that plated Frank Thomas. Don has one hit and two times up in an RBI. He swings the bat real well. Now Skinny Brown winds, delivers. Knuckleball high, one ball and no strike. Pitch on the way. A high fly ball. If it stays fair, it might do it. Let's watch. And it's going to be a foul ball. Foul ball landing in the upper deck. Don Rowe had a real polo ground swing on that one. Pulled it right down the line. But pulled it just a little bit too much and it went foul. Lights are on, skies are overcast, light rain falling. A swing and a miss on a breaking pitch. One ball and two strikes. Now Skinny Brown with a one and two delivery. Whacked foul, back upstairs, no play in the count. One ball and two strikes. Skinny Brown has given up one run, allowed five base hits. Walked two and struck out three. A little pop-up towards shortstop taken by Jim Wynn. More of a soft liner than a pop fly. Not very high in the air, and Wynn just stood there to take it. Now there are two away, nobody on. Top of the batting order for second baseman Ron Hunt. Ron is 0 for 3 in the game, but his last two times at bat, he has hit the ball deep to left center and had it run down. Skinny, a slow grounder hit down to third. There, one-hand pickup by Astoroni. The peg, he's safe. Stop was pulled off the bag and handling the throw. We'll wait for the official scoring. It was a tough play for Astoroni, that slow grounder. The grass is slippery and hard to run fast on. He had to come in at full speed and then throw off stride. It'll go as an infield hit for Ron Hunt. Base hit number six by New York, and the batter now is Jim Hickman. Jim has been called out. Popped to short, grounded out to third, nothing for three. Swing and a miss on a knuckleball. Young John Bateman has done a good job behind the plate with a big mitt handling the knuckler of Skinny Brown. Here's the pitcher on the way. Outside and low, one ball, one strike. Skinny's last time out, he lost a tough pitching duel to Milwaukee 2-0. And just prior to that, went all the way to a shutout of St. Louis Cardinals 1-0. Ground ball, a base hit through the hole into left field. Ron Hunt turns at second. He'll stop there. Al Spangler playing the ball back to the infield to Jim Wynn. The pitching coach of the Houston Colt 45 picks up the telephone and we'll have something starting up in just a moment or two for the Houston Colt 45. The hitter is Duke Snyder. Duke has walked, single to left, and hit a ball out on the warning track in right center that was caught. Lefty Hal Wittichick will start to get ready. Now the pitch to Snyder. A ground ball hit hard towards second. Ernie Fazio comes up with it, plays to stop, and the side is out. No runs, two hits, no errors, two left on. Now seven innings complete, and the score, the Houston Colts 45-8, and the New York Mets 1. That's the score here, and Ralph Kiner has the scores of other games for you. While rain is showing up all around the circuit, San Francisco is scheduled at Pittsburgh, rained out. They had a doubleheader scheduled there, and San Francisco will be in here at the Polo Grounds for Wednesday night and Thursday night games. So if you haven't made your plans, come on out and join us. That should be a real big series. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the first game after six innings when the game was called because of rain, and the second game was rained out, of course. In that game, the Dodgers won it 3-2, the winning pitcher Johnny Padres. He now has won eight and lost six, and the Dodgers now have temporarily, at least, increased their lead. I guess you'd have to say they have increased their lead to 6.5 games over the Giants. Also in the National League, Chicago at St. Louis. The Cardinals out in front 9-1 after 5.5 innings. Sadecki working on that win. Boyer and White home runs. That's the first of two. Cincinnati playing at home, and they lead Milwaukee by a score of 4-1 after 6.5. Shaw and Satoris, the pitchers in that one, the first of two. The American League, New York out on top of the first, no score. Kansas City now coming to bat. Stafford against Rakow. That's the first of two.